It's Monday, and that means we need to check in with our media critic, Dick Weiss, ladies and gentlemen. He 30-year editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He now has a website, weisswrite.com, weisswrite.com. Lots of good and fun nuggets of information if you're into writing and journalism and the good, the bad, and the ugly. He joins us every Monday. I did not have a chance to personally say congratulations to you for lending your mother to the St. Louis community for all those many years.
Oh. Yes, I was raised in a famous bar store. They used to have a slogan called "You're never far from famous bar," and I never was with my mother. She was a PR person for 47 years for Famous Bar, and then for Macy's, and retired.
47 years. Now, was she pushed out, or did she resign on her own?
No. Well, you know, they had an opportunity when Macy's took over. They let a lot of people go, and she's 80 years old at the time. Oh, I'm sorry, Mom.
80 years
old.
Didn't
want to say that. And they kept her on, and she...
through the transition. So yeah, this isn't like Alberto Gonzalez, where he might have been forced out. She's actually... Yeah. She's going to take her...
I could safely say she did not want to spend more time with her family.
After 47 years, what do you get? Do you get a watch? Do you get...
She got a nice lunch,
and
they had a little event at the... Robert's Orpheum, an employee event, and at the end of the event, they recognized her and she got a standing O.
How about that?
They were very nice.
And what's it like to have a mother more famous than you?
You know, I live in her shadow, and you know, what can you do? Just try to try to move on. Deal with it.
All right. So you saw Resurrecting the Champ over the weekend.
I did.
And from
I enjoyed it.
From a journalist, you liked it.
I did. I liked it. I am sorry that JR was not the script writer. I thought it could have been an even better movie if it was more faithful to the story he originally wrote in, I think, 1997.
1997, yeah.
For the LA Times Magazine, because that was a terrific story. And I went, after seeing the movie, I went to try to find that story. And online, figuring out if I go to the movie website, it would be there. But it wasn't. I had to go into the LA Times archives, spend $3.95 to pull it out of there and read it.
JR told me this past week that the LA Times declined the invitation to put the link to the movie website. So they're forcing you to go and buy it.
Yes, and I read the New York Times review of the movie. JR used to work at the New York Times,
right.
And did not have, what shall we say?
Glowing reviews?
Well, no, the review was actually pretty good.
Right.
But when JR worked at the New York Times, he kind of didn't get...
Oh, right.
He got bounced out of there, and they did. They mentioned that he'd won a Pulitzer Prize. This story was a Pulitzer Prize finalist. He worked for the LA Times, but did not mention his association with the New York Times, which I thought, you know, I would have claimed him.
Right.
I would have been proud to have said he won
for us. Yeah, but when he was working there, he was a lowly staff intern, for lack of a better word.
Right.
So, I mean, he was a gopher, you know, starting on the bottom.
They made a
run.
Serious mistake letting him go.
Right. I do find it interesting that the LA Times is charging people $3.95. I mean, that's, I guess they used to give these stories away. Now, with the way the LA Times is.
Well, most newspapers will let you look for free at anything they've published in the last any week, couple of weeks, a month.
Right.
But if you want to go into their archives years back, they charge a fee, and you can, it's a lot like getting wireless service. You can get a daily rate, a monthly rate, or an annual rate, and $3.95 for one story is what they charge.
All right. You found, what is this? Somebody went out and did research and to find out how truthful newspaper articles really are?
Yes. The story that was on Slate, and it's called, the headline is called Reign of Error. The average newspaper corrects very few of its factual errors, says a professor. And this professor went out, his name's Scott Mayer, M-A-I-E-R, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right. And he looked at 10 metropolitan newspapers, not the Post-Dispatch, but papers like the Boulder Daily Camera and the Charlotte Observer and Miami Herald. And starting with an arbitrary date, he looked at all, clipped out all the stories that were on section fronts. And the story says, the results might shock even the most jaded newspaper reader. About 69% of the 3,600 news sources in the stories completed a survey, and they spotted 2,615 factual errors in 12,220 stories. In other words, about two errors per story. And that means about half the stories for which the survey was completed contained one or more errors. Just 23 of the flawed stories, less than 2%, generated corrections. No paper corrected more than 4.2% of its flawed articles.
So we're not talking about grammatical errors or commas out of place or periods, but we're talking it was four dead and three were really dead, or it happened on Tuesday like, and it really happened on Friday.
You know, like the Post-Dispatch the other day had a corrections, and they corrected. I really think when I worked there anyway, they corrected lots of things, and they went out of their way no matter what. But, you know, they ran a correction the other day. Drivers on westbound Highway 40 this weekend will detour off the highway, give you all those directions with that
right.
road construction. And the correction ends up saying, the directions were reversed in a report on Thursday's main news section. You know, you just don't want to, you don't want to do that. And then in addition, it says, the Rams preseason game against San Diego will be Saturday night at the Edward Jones Dome. Its date was misstated in the report. Of course, I think a lot of people would have been glad to have missed that game. So that might be a correction you want.
People showing up on a Sunday. It was in the paper. It said Sunday. All right. So as a 30-year editor of a major metropolitan daily, do you buy that? Do you not? Is it getting worse? Is it getting better? And or do you think that is the normal operating procedure?
I think that. It's hard for me to question what he came up with. I was somewhat floored by it that there were so many
right.
that people would miss. I think it's going to get worse because newspapers are reducing their staffs, and they're going to have to fill those papers up with news, and they're going to have fewer and fewer people look over the copy
right.
and make sure that it's correct. So it could.
So you think it's getting worse?
It's going to get worse before it gets better, I'm afraid. And then, of course, the online stuff, the bloggers. I mean, that goes out unfiltered.
Right. Well, they're just blatantly wrong. They're wrong, misspelling, wrong everything, and
everything.
They don't care. Right.
Yeah.
All right, interesting. All right, you found a little nugget of information in St. Louis Magazine, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
This could be the greatest story of all.
Who's
on the cover of the St. Louis Magazine?
St. Louis. Who is on the cover? Somebody in it's their A to Z fall fashion preview, a very nice looking
very nice.
Do you know her?
No, I don't.
Have you ever been on the cover of St. Louis Magazine?
No, I have not. Thank you for rubbing that in. I appreciate that.
Okay, guess you're not. Aren't you like the 30 under 30 or 50 under 50?
I was 40 under 40. Yes.
40 under 40.
Yes, I was.
Okay,
40 under
are you
40.
Still under 40?
I'm 40, so okay. I don't know if I technically still apply. So I'm off the list.
But we digress. Now that you're a star, however, maybe.
Yeah.
Dave Lowry, a food reviewer, I don't know Dave, is going along talking about the spaghetti and so on at a restaurant called Acero on 7200 Manchester. And then just as he's getting toward the end, he says, tables are a little close, though one does not feel it all cramped. The hostess's bottom is commendable. Ask for the table directly behind your station if you'd like to spend the evening, as we found ourselves doing, evaluating it.
That's my kind of review.
They reviewed the backside of the maitre d', or of the hostess.
Of the hostess. Yes, yeah. They did. And a certain woman in my house throws the magazine at me and says, cancel the subscription. And I'm looking, and I'm trying to get the—am I missing some context here?
Right.
You know, is there some reason why he would put this in?
Right, because the special of the day was pork butts or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I really can't find it other than the tables. It was a little cramped, and so you may find yourself up close to the hostess's bottom.
Derriere. That's a new one on me.
Well,
that's...
there were Hostess cupcakes. We can go that route. But
a Cerro restaurant. We have to ask Catherine Neville about that one. 7200 Manchester?
7266 Manchester.
I think I'm going there for lunch today.
bottom line, artful and imaginative presentations of great Italian cooking.
Yes, sounds like it. All right. I know. What's the story that I know you've been paying attention to this was it a Fox reality TV series?
Yes. In your absence, while you were gallivanting around with the Hollywood types, Victoria and I were holding up our end and talking about a program called Anchor Woman, which was about a woman who was a bikini model and was hired by a station in Tyler, Texas to anchor the news because the ratings weren't doing so well. They thought they got a hot-looking model. that the ratings might spike.
Right.
And while they were at it, they decided to do a, Fox decided to do a reality show about the anchor woman breaking in.
Right.
And Victoria and I just tore it apart last Monday and told people not to watch it.
Right.
And it ran one episode and was canceled. And we think we had an impact. And I'm sure our listeners probably had an impact by not watching.
It was canceled because nobody watched it.
I guess, or...
You didn't watch it.
Who knows? Maybe the outrage. I didn't watch it.
You know, there is something on the internet called nakednews.com.
Is that right?
Have you seen this?
No.
Where, literally, it's a real newscast.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do, you know, Alberto Gonzalez resigned today, and they'll go to a clip of him. And then when you come back, the woman will have, like, undone her blouse.
Right.
And then she'll go on, and then now on with the weather, and she'll, like, take her top off. And by the end of the news... Where they have their happy chat at the end, they are completely naked.
Wow.
It is naked news, and they do it. They don't crack up. She's just there taking off her underwear. And in sports today, you know, Albert Pujols went 2 for 5, and there's.
Well,
and
it's all over
totally
the place.
Naked.
You know, in Russia now, they have a beefcake photos of Putin on the official Russian government website. It shows him naked from the waist up, hunting. So.
Well, he was former KGB, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, what's the best story we've never read?
Well, I actually have two. They're kind of companion pieces, really reflecting the past and the future. The New York Times did a really nice piece about the people in New York who spend their days simply looking out their window at what's going on in the street.
Okay.
Watching the traffic go by. It's a little tone poem. Okay. The Wall Street Journal, around the same time, runs a piece about how somebody else is spending his time, and many others who they lead virtual lives. And the headline on this Wall Street Journal article is called "Is This Man Cheating on His Wife?" Because the man leading his virtual life, Rick Hogenstrat, has a virtual wife, and his real wife, is not too happy about that. And she says, "You know, I walk by, and he's having cartoon sex with his virtual wife. I don't like it."
I actually read that story, and we did it here on the show. It was out last week, whenever it was. That is the most disturbing story I've read in a long time.
Isn't that?
Because these people have real lives, and then they go on this website. I think it's like virtuallife.com or something, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Where they create their own person. They're a movie mogul, or they're a actor, a director, a captain of industry, a gas station attendant, and they have these lives, and they pick their house and their children and their wives, and so much so that, yes, in their virtual life, they're having sex with their wife in the computer screen while while their wife is watching it, saying, what are you doing?
And this wouldn't be so bad if you're doing it for 30, 45 minutes a day, but this guy is leading his virtual life like 20 hours a day.
Right.
And not dealing with his real wife, you know, when he can.
People are insane.
I'll pencil you in, honey.
That is just insane. All right, so that's at weissrite.com, right?
Yes, you can find the links there.
weisswrite.com. All right, also you have downloads of this segment as well as others and all sorts of neat things on the website. All right, thanks for coming in.
Yeah.